Hello, everyone. This is Sean, and this is episode 4 of Sean Hammer. Well, here we are again, boys and girls, for another episode of what I hope to be a very entertaining podcast. Apparently, I've listened to the last episodes I did, and there's this weird buzzing and stuff, so hopefully I can go ahead and shake out of that during these episodes and stuff. Anyway, how have you guys been? I mean, I think it's been a week or so since I posted one of these, and to me, it's been pretty busy. I mean, yesterday being Swedish Day and all, that took up a little bit of my time, as well as not feeling well either. But, wow, all I gotta say is I'm an addict to this Star Wars miniature game. I don't know why, I just can't get enough of it. I've been playing that a lot, and I know this isn't Warhammer, but hey, that was my week so far. I also conditioned a couple of my brushes, got some stuff from the good old Hobby Lobby, which is a mega craft store, basically. It's got some brush conditioner. My brushes look good. I'm looking back into painting. I'm going to go and paint some Skaven. And I was going to jump into buying some Space Wolves. But I don't think that's going to happen financially right now, so I'm going to touch up one of my other projects that I have going, probably my Bretonians. So, this week, a couple new things. Pictures are out for the Storm Vermin and also the Screaming Bell for the Skaven. Beautiful, beautiful models, matter of fact. Wow, the pricey though, so I don't know. I got a hunk load of Skaven metal figs at a very good price, so that's where I started my Skaven army. But the add-ons to make that army work is going to cost me a small fortune in some countries. As well as some of the new Space Wolf models came out as well at the local hobby store. I got to take a peek at them. The new Grey Hunter box, excuse me again, fantastic looking models. I like the original ones, but when I got to look at these, I was just like, the old ones look like crap. So it's very, very, very nice models. As well as Lucas the Trickster, which I actually picked him up. He's quite a snazzy looking guy. The only thing I don't really care for is not actually the model. In comparison with the old Space Wolf models that they didn't redo as special characters, mainly Ragnar Blackmane, the new characters are so much bigger and they're more detailed, and it makes the old figures such as Ragnar basically just obsolete. So I'm not going to have to worry about playing Ragnar anytime soon, but I will be playing Lucas the Trickster. So that's about it for Games Workshop news that I have this last week or so. I haven't done any really board games. Just preparing for Halloween and stuff. I have 4 kids, so, you know, get some costumes and stuff together. No one wants to be anything cool. Try to get my son to be a Jedi, but didn't want any. Want to be a Storm Shadow from G.I. Joe, so I guess I really can't complain too much about that either. As I said in episode 1, I think I mentioned that I was veering off from the Miscast podcast because of creative differences and stuff, where it appears that Jason from the Miscast podcast still wishes to have me on the show, and I'm going to do it. Heck, why not? I love talking about the hobby, and I love just talking. I mean, so everything matches really well, and I'm going to go with it. So, I think today, it's going to be today or soon this week, we'll be recording another episode of the Miscast podcast. And I'll put a link to that website on the site that I have. I'm working on trying to get the site that I got a little bit better, trying to go better templates and get some pictures uploaded. I just don't know if I have to put more money into the site itself. I don't know, so I'm going to try and make a better looking site for everyone so you can enjoy it, so I can start putting up some pictures and miniatures, and in the future, miniatures that you guys paint too. I'd like to take a look at them, and if anyone wants to share any pictures with me, please, excuse me, please just email them to me at seanhammer9@yahoo.com. Nine is the letter, not spelling it out. So, I mean, if you want me to take a look at some of your models and such, I'd love to. I'd like to take a peek at them, and maybe I can get them up on the site and stuff and get things working for everyone to see. So, today what we're going to talk about is going to be fantasy-related. I played a game, I lied, I did play a game of Warhammer within the last week. I played a 1250-point game of Bretonians against Lizardmen. What's going on here? Anyway. Sorry, everyone. This Audacity thing is doing something funny. I mean, I didn't really quite know what it was doing. But anyway, I played a game of Bretonians against Lizardmen. In my Bretonian list, I took let's see, a Paladin as a stand, of course, is the battle, BSB. I took another Paladin as a, basically the general type. Took a small unit, I believe it was six. It was seven Knights of the Realm. And I put the BSB and the General inside them. I also took three Pegasus Knights, one Trebuchet, 10 Archers. I didn't take them Skirmish. I took them with the Defensive Stakes. I took what's equivalent of a 15-man squad of the Battle Pilgrims. A 15-man squad of Men-at-Arms. And I want to say that's about it. I could be wrong. No, I'm right. I'm looking at my list. Sorry. Harley took a lot of magic items. I took the Vows of My Knight, the one that the Knightly Temper that gives them the extra attacks, because I originally play Vampire Counts, and I can't get away from that. For every hit I do an extra hit. So it's kind of like the Bloodline Power Red Fury that I play. Well, anyway, I'm playing this game, and ultimately I won. There was a few odd questions during the game, and we're not going to go into that today. But what I like to talk about is skirmishing. Now in this game, I have my Knights of the Realm. I mean, not Knights of the Realm, but Pegasus Knights. They were kind of skirmish, and I took my archers as a line. And I thought that would be good because I was expecting a big charge and the defensive stakes to take away the charge bonuses from anything that charged me. And they were kind of a screen for my trebuchet. Now, ultimately, I believe I made a mistake by taking them in the long run. And the line. The peasant bowmen have this option to take them as skirmishers. And after I saw the Lizardman player, what he took for his army, I thought to myself, wow, I'm just going to have to start using my skirmishers in a different manner. What he did is he had all those skinks and skirmish units. Of course, he had the salamanders. Very few blocks. He had a block of sauruses. And he did not take a slam because we were playing such a low point cost, but he did take a stegodon. But what I saw happen and what I wanted to do with my archers, I thought, well, I was fortunate enough to get a hill for the trebuchet. It's the archers in front, and I thought I'd be able to do this whole block and stuff. And I found out three important rules. I mean, I realized them in the previous years of playing, but I never really put all three, these three aspects into one game. And it comes down to, what are skirmishers good for? I didn't have a lot of experience with skirmishers because I never really played them too much. My only my only experience with skirmishers in the past were ghouls, and well, they took that away from me. Now they're a block unit. But what are skirmishers good for? First of all, they're good for they can cover things, flanks of units, such as the trebuchet. I took a long line, didn't really have to do that, and the guy never really bothered with my trebuchet. I guess if it actually damaged something, I went six turns. Didn't miscast once with the dang thing. Killed one of my own knights, and I didn't do any damage to this main player. Very upset with Trebuchet, so I'm not sure what the look of that in the future of the Bretonnian army is for me, but for right now I'm going to give it a couple more tries, but very disappointed with it. Anyway, we'll get back to it. If I would have had those skirmish archers, if I could have put them in this, those archers in a skirmish unit, I could have protected the trebuchet as well, had more viability to move around the trebuchet. I would be able to shoot. Still, I could still shoot if they weren't, but I could move those archers around the whole trebuchet on top of the hill and protect any angle of charge that the trebuchet may have had. Now, this doesn't just go for war machines. You can use skirmishers to block sides of units that look like they're going to be taken in the flank. I mean, no one wants to have their hard anvil unit sitting there next to, you know, smashed on the side, you know, by a decent-sized unit like cavalry or heavy cavalry. Just screw up your rank bonuses and everything like that. So, usually skirmishers aren't too shabby in price. So, I really had come down to the... Seeing this game, I really came to grasp with that skirmishers are an expendable troop, but also an invaluable part of your army. For the whole side aspect as well. So that's the first thing I learned about using with skirmishers. Right? you could use them to stop flank charges, and you can redirect charges if you want. Second thing he did is, I did actually. This is one thing I usually do. I'll get to the third in a moment. But, your skirmishers, especially if they fly and they can get up there quick, they're great for slowing down an army. You can use them to march block. You can use them to bring out frenzy units or units that I don't know if they would be frenzy, but I know there's some units that just can't control themselves, so they have to charge anyway, but they don't count as frenzy. Your skirmishers are good for that. Slow an army right down, especially once you come around and you got like two stegodons looking at you in the face. They're coming, if they get that march move and they're allowed to come across that table, that's just one or two turns earlier that they're going to bring a pretty devastating charge, especially if they took the war spear with a skink chief. You can slow them down. Skirmishers can usually outrun anything that might chase them. It's not guaranteed, but it is a possibility. So that's my usual. But one thing I didn't think about, and I don't know. I mean, this last aspect of skirmishers is just, I can't believe I haven't thought about it. Use them as a bulletproof vest, basically. Throw them out in front of a unit. Let them take the hits from a charge. Well, I have done that, but basically stop missiles. They're hard to hit anyway because they're skirmish. If you got any type of light armor, you might get something. But just with that -1 hit because they are skirmish, it gives yourself a nice little screen. And I didn't really think about that. I guess in the future I'll try to use that a little bit more. But I was just like, it came to me, and I was just like, wow, skirmishers are just much are. Most of the times, I just use skirmishers to eat up the points of anything I have left in my army. I was like, oh, I can't put in a magic item. Oh, I can't put in this. And why add another guy here, another guy there, just to eat up the points? And sometimes skirmishers are just so dang cheap, it's just easier to take them and, you know, take a unit of them, and you can, tailor them to what your need is. So I thought that, you know, I'll just bring it up. Heck, I'll talk about this today. That's what I told myself. And we're looking at the new Skaven stuff that I'm looking at. I got quite a few skirmish units that I can use. So that's going to be pretty interesting how I develop into that. Takes me in the whole thought of, you know, how 40K is all skirmish and stuff. But even though the two systems play pretty much in the same light, there's a difference with the whole block and everything like that. So that's what I came down with. It was just learn a little rule, I mean not a little rule, but a little lesson about skirmishers and fantasy this weekend. I just want to share that with everyone. Well, we're going to take a break for a moment, then we're going to come back, and we're probably going to finish up a little segment of, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to call this, but I'm just going to talk about why. I mean, why this army? Why would I want to play this, you know? I've had people ask me, Sean, why should I play Warhammer over top of Fantasy, or Fantasy over top of, oh, I'm sorry, Warhammer 4K, and what army do I use? And we're going to just go over that in a minute. And I think the valuable little lesson that I have, at least for myself, and I think it made me happy in the long run, and I'll go over that in a minute, right after a word from the local hobby store that I go to.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Well, anyway, we are back. And like I said, we're going to go over to a little bit what people ask me all the time that want to start the hobby. They look at it and they say, oh, wow, these miniatures are quite sweet, you know. And it's just like, then they ask one of the guys at the hobby store, you know, what system is better. Then after they get a review of that, they want to know what army to play. Well, let's go over system first. Even though the both systems work on the same charts, basically, the hit and wound, and they got a lot of the same aspects into both with the shooting, the hand-to-hand, the morale, fear, terror, panic. They have both the same aspects. The two major significance of the games that I see that I can tell people is, well, fantasy, you work on blocks of troops. They represent hardcore military, like you would see in fantasy movies such as Lord of the Rings or something, where you got large blocks of guys that are moving together as groups and they're stationed and formed. Around here we have reenactments and stuff, so I can bring that into play too, and people understand that. And I tell them 40K is a little bit more loose. It's a lot more shooting. I mean, don't get me wrong, close combat can play one heck of a difference into a game as well. But you know, it's just it is a little loose. You don't have to keep your guys in big squares. You have an inch, 2 inch differences that you can punch your guys. as well as terrain. I mean, what do you want to, I ask people more so, is how do they see themselves? If they were to go into this little tabletop miniature game and they wanted to use their whole imagination to pretend they're in it. Do they want to be fighting rank and file with a buddy next to them? Or do they want to be ducking and hiding in cover and flipping and rolling, shooting, you know, like a bolt gun or something? So I try and differentiate the two games, you know, what style you want to play. Then I go into terrain. Fantasy, of course, uses, you know, old school stuff like buildings, farms, fences, rivers, hills. And I ask the people that are playing it, you know, does that appeal to you in how you play? Or I go and I show them pictures and books of like the Cities of Death scenery. And I show them all the stuff from maybe Planetfall with the bastions and the forts and stuff and say, well, this is the terrain that you primarily use in 40K. Excuse me again. And, you know, this is what we're looking at. You want to play something that's old school, or do you want to play something that's set in the future? And that usually puts people in a form of which one they want to play first.
Now, when it comes down to individualistic armies, everyone's, oh, what can I play? You know, I've heard this one guy say that this new army book or this new codex is really sweet, and I can, you know, I heard they're really crushing people's heads at tournaments and stuff like that. As I said before, I'm not a huge tournament player. I do play them, but I don't thrive on it. I don't sit there and try and think of, well, what can I do to play in this Ardborg's tournament? What can I be the cheesy and stuff? And I hate people who play with the newest book. There's one guy at a hobby store that, for a while, he would go out and buy an army. And it would be what people would call the broken army. He'd play the heck out of it. Then, in turn, the new book would come out. And the next book may not be so bad, so he keep playing the army he played before. Then the one after that came out, that's like totally kicks butt. So he decides, oh, I'm going to play that army, gets rid of his old stuff, and plays a new army. And that's definitely one aspect you can play, especially if you like to win. I mean, you don't play these games because you want to lose all the time. But you play them, hopefully, so you can have fun. So, you know, that's one way you could play them. Second way is my favorite way to pick out an army. Is what do you want to look at? I mean, you're going to put these models together, and a large majority of people are going to paint them themselves. You know, you can always commission the work to somebody else to paint them. But what do you want to paint? I mean, do you want to paint? Let's go on a, you know, let's just talk about fantasy for a moment. Do you want to paint humans? Do you want to paint guys in old livery or livery, however you pronounce it? Do you want to paint knights, cannons, mortars? Do you want to paint elves? Do you want to, you mean, you got high elves who are running around with some skirts and pointy ears and long hair? Do you want to paint that? Do you want to paint orcs? Do you want to mess with green skin? Do you want to mess with chunky armor and weird aspects? Do you want to see yourself looking all the time at undead? Do the undead rise your interest where you want to say, oh, I can really see myself wanting to control a legion of skeletons or zombies? So the most important thing I have to say to anybody is please pick an army that's going to be fun to you visually. And I don't know if this is gay or not, but emotionally as well. I mean, my first army that I played, I actually played a high elf army in a tournament. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I ended up winning first. I give it to the other guy because I was playing his army. So I gave him the prize and stuff. And it was pretty cool. I got kicked out. Not kicked out, but... excuse me. I lost quickly in the Magic Seal deck tournament I was playing in at this tournament. So I played this game called Warhammer, and it was fun and stuff, and I really enjoyed myself, and, you know, nothing helps more if you win your first game, trust me. So, I was just like, wow, what can I do? You know, I was really low budget at the time, and this may not be a hobby to get into now if you're low budget, because prices have hiked up dramatically. But back in the day when I started playing, I believe in 96... 95, I forgot what it was 94, sorry. Army of Darkness. I saw that movie. And I based everything I wanted to do in Warhammer Fantasy based off of Army of Darkness. I wanted to raise undead. There was no other army, fantasy-wise, that could beat, in my opinion, an undead army. I mean, it was just like, you want fantasy? There is nothing more fantasy than running around with large chunks of undead. Undead on horses, undead on chariots. I mean, the army was beautiful. The concept was beautiful, so I went with it. Over the years, the army books have changed for the worse or the better. Style of play has changed, but I stuck with it because I liked the way it looks. So, I don't know. I don't know what brought me to say this at the end of the podcast, but those are two instances that have happened to me this past week in my busy week of playing Star Wars miniatures. I played Game 2 of Warhammer. I found out some valuable information about skirmishers. And I helped some kids and their mom. The kid had some birthday money. He was wanted to know what set to get into. And he actually ended up did go 40K. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. I play both. And I play both only because they are two different styles of game systems. And what I get from one day, I can get from the other the next. So it's, you know, it's a good hobby. It's been there for me when I needed it. Just giving me, I've been poor. And I wanted to go do something. I didn't have money to do it, but I got a paint desk full of miniatures, so I started painting that. So it's been there for me when I'm poor. It's been there for me through my divorce. It's been there for me on rainy days. So, and I think the one thing that's always come down to me is I'm very glad that I picked armies that I wish to play and that they give me that personal satisfaction. I've done commission work for other people, painting stuff that I never would have played, and let me tell you, it's a pain in the butt, and I have no ambition at all to ever want to play it. So I hurry up and paint them, get them on my face, and paint on my own stuff. And hopefully, I'll be painting on my own stuff here and posting pictures up pretty soon and stuff. So I'd like to thank everyone, again, for coming in and listening to me. It's a kind of drab Sunday here in Michigan, and I'm sorry if this audio is buzzy again. I'll try and figure out if, like I said, if anyone's got any questions or information or help, suggestions, shoot me an email at Sean Hammer, SEANHAMER, 9, at yahoo.com. And I'll see you all probably about next week or sooner if I spark an interest to do another one of these up. Have a good day.